This episode of Shaun of the South is brought to you by Case Knives, a tradition of my family dating back to my granddaddy who once said the best way to cure idle hands was to build something. So keep your hands sharp with a Case Knife. And by WNC Original Music, music of the Carolinas and of the nation. Do yourself a favor and visit WNC Original Music. Look them up and listen to their podcast today. You will not regret it.
Hey, you are listening to Shaun of the South, and I'm your host tonight, Shaun Dietrich. And man, we got a great show lined up ahead here. A great show coming to you live to the podcast airwaves and the radio waves all over this fine nation. This guy you see behind me here fixing play music for you is Vaden Landers, everybody. Vaden Landers. This portion of our program is brought to you by Visit North Alabama, the Mountain Lakes Tourist Association. Travel to visit the 16 North Alabama counties that make this state what it is. Festivals, attractions, and restaurants all over Alabama. Blount County, Cherokee County, Colbert County, Coleman County, DeKalb County, Edward County, Franklin County, Jackson County, Lauderdale County, Lawrence County, Limestone County, Madison County, Marion County, Marshall County, Morgan County, Winston County. Or visit the Horton Mill Bridge just off Alabama 75, about 5 miles north of Oneonta. Built in 1935, all the work was done strictly by hand tools. Think about that for a second. Or how about the North Alabama Barbecue Trail, trek across North Alabama on a holy, sacred pilgrimage of saturated fat and slow-smoked pork. Other states do their barbecue differently than they do in Alabama, and that's not to say that they don't do it right. But that is absolutely to say that they do it dead wrong. Make plans today to visit North Alabama, because whatever you want to do, you can do it better in North Alabama. Look them up at Visit North Alabama or northalabama.org or hashtag Visit North AL. How about another tune here from Vaden Landers, ladies and gentlemen? Vaden Landers.
I've got the traveling blues, it means I'm gonna leave you now. She don't care at all. She's my hard-headed baby. I love her anyhow. She got the traveling blues. It means she's gonna leave you now. Traveling blues, it means I'm through with you. The old lady, quit your shuffling, wanna be something. left me my health. Lord, I tell you what do. Well, believe me, little boy, just I broke you on by myself. Hope I'm dead and blue. Way back in Alabama, went to Mississippi, good gal, Lord, let me quit me, Lord, pack my grip, take me a farewell to you.
I'm going to read you a little bit of our mail this evening, a little bit of our mail sent in to us from listeners all over this fine nation. I had nothing better to do than to put pen to paper and send us a few of their sentiments, or to tell us about their summer vacation or what they're doing this fall, or to send us a legal letter of representation asking us to cease and desist under threat of legal representation. Our first letter comes from Kasman Podine in Dayton, Ohio. Kasman Podine. Dear Sean, I had a cat who used to listen to music and podcasts with me. She lived until 17 years old, and she would always sit on this same chair by the window and listen to the radio or podcasts or whatever I was listening to. When I was cleaning my house or when I was just sitting on the couch, the only thing she didn't do with me was watch TV, but she did everything else. Well, I had to put her down last week. And I feel like I live in an empty house. It's hard for me to even write about it. But I had to tell somebody about it, and you seemed like a likely candidate. Today, I'm going to look at pets to see about filling the void in my heart that she left. Her name was Ritzy, and she was the best animal I have ever had. And that's including all the childhood dogs I had growing up, too. Thanks for the show. Well, dear Kasman, you have our thoughts and our prayers. I hope you get a new kitty cat. Jack Hartfield, Mont Eagle, Tennessee. Sean, I think my favorite part of the week is when I get to watch college football with my father. He has Alzheimer's, and he can't do much of anything anymore in his nursing home. He doesn't know who you are or where you come from, and you will figure this out about 10 minutes after your conversation starts with him. You'll notice that he gets lost, and when you turn on Saturday football, everything changes. He perks right up, and he turns into the old guy that I know and love. Football is our time together. This year, we are going to be getting hard into Alabama football, which is where he's from originally. Hard and heavy. I love my dad, and I don't want to say goodbye, but Alzheimer's makes you say goodbye before it's time. It's such a horrible disease. It changes everyone's whose lives touch it, Sean. Roll Tide from your buddy Jake. Well, dear Jake, roll tide to you and your father from a fellow Roll Tide fan. Alan and Carol from Birmingham, Alabama. There's something about this fall weather that makes my kids go absolutely crazy. All they want to do is be outside. So we have to think of things to do outside, things that are stimulating and fun. And so I have decided to buy an old truck and restore it with them, Sean. I'm not bad at taking engines apart and putting them back together. And so if they're old engines, I can look at them and know what needs to be done and actually figure it out, as opposed to those newer engines with those so-called computers. I have no idea how those work. Right now I'm looking in the classifieds for a 1955 Ford or maybe a 57 Chevy truck that we can get running up and running again and fix up to a Chery, and teach my kids the same things that my father taught me and my brothers when we used to work on old cars together. Those are some of my best memories. There's something about not using a cell phone. There's something about hanging out with my boys that makes me feel like our culture today is missing the mark somehow. Sean, technology doesn't make everything better, I don't believe. It might make some things better, but it leaves a lot to
be desired. So thanks again for the show. I just want you to know that one day you're going to be playing over these old speakers on our Chevy or Ford when we're bebopping down the streets of Birmingham. Sincerely, Alan and Carol. Dear Alan and Carol, thank you for the letter. Thank you for the letter. My father bought an MGB, 1961 MGB, a few years before he died. And that MGB, we ended up selling, and we never got to restore it like he had wanted to. And so many years later, I bought a 1969 MGB last year when they had the chrome bumper. And I took that sucker apart all by myself, and I put it back together with a lot of help from a lot of people who actually knew what in the God's name they were doing. And I drove that thing all over God's creation, and I thought about my father. There is something to be said about taking cars apart and putting them back together. Good luck to you, Alan and Carol. Jenna Charmeau, Joplin, Missouri. Charmeau. Sean, I've been catching up with your show after I read about your podcast in Garden and Gun magazine, and I just think that it's time that I reached out to you and said something, because you give your show to me every week. Well, Jenna, as a side note here, it's not really much of a gift. What we do is extraordinarily mediocre, but thank you for the kind words anyway. And now back to reading more of your letter. Sean, thank you for making my weekends fun. My boyfriend of 4 years just walked out on me because he found somebody who he liked a lot better. And it almost killed me. It almost killed me until the dust settled and I finally realized what a blessing him walking out really was. There are some things you just can't see until the dust in your life settles, I guess. I started taking back my life one little piece at a time. I opened up a little booth at our local farmer's market, and I make soaps, and I'm getting into making pepper jelly and pimento cheese and all sorts of dips that I sell over ice in a cooler. And I have been having so much fun lately. In fact, I look forward to my weekends. I wear my earbuds and I listen to podcasts while people walk up and down the aisles of our outdoor farmers market. And I have met some great people. When they come to my booth, I have to hit pause when they walk by and shake their hand and figure out where they're from and what they're doing. And it's awesome. I had no idea that I could be a crafty person. I've never been crafty before. I've never made pepper jellies up until this year. And it took something bad to show me the truth about myself. Anyway, I'm writing this while sitting in my booth at the farmer's market, listening to your podcast on a great fall day. Or do we call it autumn? I can't remember. Here's to you and what you do. I appreciate it. And here's to all the people who have to go through something bad to get to something really good. Well, dear Jenna, I appreciate that letter very, very much. Blanche from Tampa, Florida. Tampa, Florida. Sean, I hear you sing on your show sometimes. I listen every week, and I always look forward to those moments when you open your mouth and let out a little tune. Well, Blanche, that makes one of you. You might not know it, and if you don't, that's okay. But if you do, I want you to sing a song for me. Would you please sing in honor of my father and mother, who used to play music in a string band and travel around all over the U.S. together? Would you sing the song, Keep on the Sunny Side? Well, dear Blanche, I guess I better. Let's do a little bit. There's a dark and troubled side of life. There's a bright
sunny side too. If we meet with darkness and strife, the sunny side also we may view. Well, keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on that sunny side alive. It will help us every day. It will guide us all the way. If you keep on that sunny side alive, we'll keep on the sunny side. Always on that sunny side. Keep on that sunny side alive. It will help us every day. It will guide us all the way. If you keep on that sunny side of life. And that's letters from our listeners. Letters from our listeners.
Well, we did some traveling last week, my wife and I, and we got to go a little further north than normal. I'm going to tell you, it gets hot down here in the south. Even in the fall time, there will be just this random little bit of hot weather. But once you cross that little dividing line that separates the extreme south from the mid-south all the way up to the northeast, you get into some cold weather, and it's important that you remember to wear layers, because if you don't wear layers, you will lose parts of your body that were meant for procreation. I am not kidding with you. It gets cold up there, cold, so cold that the part of your body that is the padding behind you when you go to sit down has become so cold that it's frozen stiff like frozen ground meat from the refrigerator. And when you sit down, it feels like you're sitting on a rock. This is the winter, I guess, the precursor to winter. Time is opening up the window for winter to come into the world. When we got back home, it was nice to be kind of in the south where things were roughly around 85 degrees. The coldest it gets is about 75. I can handle 75, but when you get to 85 degrees, that's where I feel maybe most like myself. Once you get below the 60s, below, God forbid, the 50s, you're talking, we are in the judgment We are in Revelation. This is when my mother will call me and say, Sean, I can't help it. My teeth are chattering. They just keep chattering and just keep chattering, even though they're in a glass of water beside my bed. It's rough. It's rough. I was driving along, 85-degree weather, beautiful day, right outside the grocery store in our town, and I was listening to some music. I love to listen to old country music on my truck radio because it reminds me of the old men of my life who taught me a lot. Things like Hank Williams singing, well, my bucket's got a hole in it. Well, my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. I can't bite no bear. I just love old Hank music like, well, she's a long gone. I am a lonesome blue. I went down to the river to watch the fish swim by. I went down to the river, so lonesome I wanted to die, oh Lord. And when I got to the river, found a doggone river under eye. Well, she's in love, and I am a lonesome blue. I listen to this stuff. I listen to this stuff, and it's got twin fiddles in it, and it's got steel guitars, the old steel guitars, played by Mr. Pappy, who's from our part, from my part of the world. He just lives north of the bridge. That's where he was from, and Hank used to come down to our area, and they'd play all sorts of music together, and Pappy was a steel guitarist who gave Hank Williams his sound. I love knowing this. I love knowing this about Hank Williams' music. There's something about old country music that links everybody together. And that's perhaps the most fun thing about it that I like. New country doesn't seem to link anybody together. They got songs out there called Red Solo Cup and a song called Lord Have Mercy, What's That Girl Got On? She Can Shake Her Badonkadonk. How in the world is this country music? We have yet to understand it in the place I'm from. While I was in traffic, I saw this truck in front of me. And this truck was an old pickup truck, a Ford F-100, an old one, green. I mean, I say old, but like 1972, I think, because I know this truck well. And in the back of this truck were six young boys riding in the back of a pickup truck. Now, I do not agree with this. I do not agree with letting children ride in the back of a pickup truck. It's dangerous. All it would take is one wrong turn or one big bump in the road or anything out of the ordinary, and one of these kids would bounce out of that truck like slingshotted out of that truck onto the pavement where he could be altered forever. And I know this is dangerous because I myself, when I was growing up, must have spent 8 hours a week in a pickup truck just like this. Mr. Diney used to take us to and from baseball practice and to and from baseball games riding in a Ford F-100 forest green pickup truck with a rusted roof and rusted fenders and a radio that worked but a steering column that didn't. And so to drive this truck, he had to jam the wheel all the way to the right because it had a crooked axle and lean his body all the way to the left just to keep it going in a straight line. And there would be 9 boys crammed in the back of this truck, and there would be 4 boys crammed in the front of this truck. And he would be riding along the road with the windows down, because there wasn't no AC, and he'd have his arm dangling out the window, and he'd be singing along with the radio, singing songs like, if you are sad and lonely and have nowhere to go, call me up, sweet darling, and bring along some dough, and we'll go honky-tonking, honey, baby, honky-tonking, honey, mama. We'll go honky-tonking around this town. And we'd just listen to it, wouldn't say much, and we would just ride in the back in our little uniforms, and our goal in this world, sitting in the back of that truck, was getting the car who was behind Danny to honk their horn. I mean, I wish you could have seen us. Can you imagine what it must have been like riding behind a truck full of 9 boys who were all very moderately unkempt with messy hair, their hats worn backwards, wearing t-shirts that are just a touch too small for their bodies that ride up all the way up and show their bellies. And these boys, when you pull up to a stoplight, are right in front of your windshield with 18 hands raised in the air, fingers splayed, jazz fingers like this, trying to get you to honk your horn, screaming things like, honk it now, come on, honk your horn. 9 voices. And you would be so put off by this or so entertained by this that you had no choice but to honk your horn, bop, 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 3 times usually. If you were a particular admirer, you'd honk it 5 times. Bop, 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 bop. There's a very specific cadence and rhythm to horn honks. When a horn is angry from the automobile, the horn is one long honk. Bop. That's an angry honk. If you are somewhat satisfied and you're waving to somebody who's standing in their front yard while you go by, we call this the honky wave. This is when you just hit it 2 short honks. Bop, bop. That's the honky wave. You also wave. And of course, I just described the other 2, the 3 honk entertaining wave and the 5 honk, that's like a standing ovation. Boy, we riding this truck all over God's creation. We did. He'd come and pick us up, we'd hop in the back of that truck, and we'd ride along, 9 boys, 2 duffel bags full of bags, 2 duffel bags full of bats and baseballs and gloves that Mr. Danny bought from the thrift stores. And he would hop out, and we'd unload from that truck, and we'd get to the baseball park to play a game, and we'd unload these duffel bags, and we'd unload this large cooler that he always brought with him, this cooler that always had cans of beer in it for himself and himself alone. We would load this stuff into the dugout, we'd set up, and we always seemed to be playing a team that was a baseball team with a mascot who'd named themselves after some threateningly deadly animal. Like the rattlesnakes or the crocodiles or the pufferfish or the badgers, the wolverines or something, you know, ugly. And they were all just nice matching uniforms, black with a chrome silver streak going down their legs. Matching ball caps that were the fitted kind, not the mesh kind we wore that cost about $1, you know, from the trophy store. These were real baseball players, and they'd practice their drills, and they were good. And then we'd all pile out, looking like Opie Taylor after a bender all night. Messy hair and mesh hats that were a little too big for our heads, and these cotton lycra pants that just clung to your body and showed every attribute God ever gave you. I had skinny legs and kind of a bigger upper half. My mother said I looked like a man riding a chicken across the front lawn. And we'd take the field, and usually we would play and lose because we just were not of the caliber of the saltwater crocodiles or the panthers. And then when it was all said and done, we would all have to take the field again. Everybody, every team member on my team would have to take the field and do what we called the good game walk of shame. The good game walk of shame is practiced all over the United States among little leaguers, soccer players, baseball players, basketball players, football players. Everybody takes the field. 2 opposing teams form 2 lines parallel to each other, and they move together and they give each other a high five using the same amount of intensity as it would take to scrub your filthy armpit in the shower. I mean, there is just no expressions on these kids' faces. They just kind of, good game, good game, good game, good game. And they say it just over and over and over again until they hit the last high five in the line. And then we would get into Mr. Danny's truck, and we would pile into the back with the cooler and the duffel bags, and he would take us across town to go to Dairy Queen to get ice cream. And this was the real reason why we enjoyed being on the baseball team. And there we'd pull into the Dairy Queen parking lot where all the boys were after playing a night of baseball. And he'd open up the tailgate, Mr. Danny, and let us go onto that little window and we'd order. I'd order two or three ice cream cones. And Mr. Danny would look at all the boys who were sitting on his truck as if it were a communal piece of equipment. And he would give us the same patented, worn-out sermon lecture that he gave every single time that we played a baseball game. It would be a lecture about how important it is to be a good loser. And how you learn more from losing a baseball game than you'll ever learn from winning a baseball game. And how to be a man in this world, it takes real guts to be embarrassed on a field in front of athletes and people who are better than you. It makes you bold. And he would tell us these things. He'd tell us how important it was to be confident, to be self-assured, and most importantly, to pay for our own ice cream. And then, once our time was done, we would all pile into that little truck bed. And it was night time, usually. And he'd drive us all home, one by one by one. He pulled up to a kid's house, and you'd hear that music going in his truck cab. Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds to blue to fly. The midnight train is whining low. I'm so lonesome I could cry. He'd open the door and he'd tell some kid some little few words that were only meant for him. Night time, and he'd slap that kid on the hind parts before that kid ran up his sidewalk to the porch. Coaches slap kids on the hind parts. They do this the entire world over and have been doing this since the baptism of Methuselah's grandson. Just a few nights ago, I was watching national television, the National League Division Championship Series, and the coach came out onto the field to talk to his star pitcher, and after his little chat with that star pitcher, he moved his right hand backward in a paddle-like motion and swatted that pitcher on the buttocks. This is a pitcher who makes $15 million per year. I looked it up. Who was hired under a contract of $250 million per year, and yet here he is on national television getting himself a little rally spank. Our coach, Mr. Dan, he'd give us that little bitty pat on the butt, and we'd walk up to our porch, and we'd wave goodbye to the boys, and the boys would all put their thumbs in their ears and give us the wavy fingers and stick their tongue out and say, "Boo, you stink, you stink." And we'd laugh, and they'd laugh, and we'd all laugh, and then we'd drive away, listen to more of Mr. Danny's music, and we'd drive through town and see the old headlights and behind his car in traffic, and he'd pull up to a stoplight. You could hear the creak of his brakes, his old squeaky brakes, and you could hear that whine of the steel guitar coming through his stereo system, and you could see his elbow draped out the window. And we'd look behind the car, and we'd see that vehicle behind us, them headlights a-blaring, and us boys would take our hats off and wave them in the air, and we'd say, "Woo, come on now, honk your horn, woo!" It was nighttime, but we didn't care. We were so excited about being alive, because that's part of childhood. You just get excited about the silliest little things. And I can only imagine what these people parked behind us thought, seeing these boys with chocolate stains on their cheeks, because they just, you know, demolished half a Dairy Queen. But we generally got honks. We generally got a beep, beep, beep. And then the light would turn green, and Mr. Danny'd roll on forward, and he'd drop another child off, and we'd wave. We'd tell that kid he stunk, boo, boo, hiss, and we'd laugh. And drive on down to the next house until it always got down to the last kid, which was me. It was always the last kid, because I lived the furthest out on Danny's route. He would pull into my driveway, up that long driveway, and by now I'd be riding in the truck cab. And he'd kick open the door, and he'd hop out, and he'd give me a little hand pat on the shoulder. And he'd look me in the eye and say, "You did really good out there today. You played good baseball. I want you to know I ain't never seen a talented kid like you play that good of baseball before." And I knew who's lying to me. I was the worst baseball player God ever created. I played first base, and this is probably why we lost. 5 seasons in a row, we had the best record for the most losses. But he told me I was good anyway. And I don't ever forget that. And when he'd finish, he'd fuzz my hair, and then he'd give me that little pat on the butt. And I'd trot up my sidewalk to my porch, and I'd wave goodbye to Mr. Diney, and I'd hear songs like, I'll pretend I'm free from sorrow. Make believe that wrong is right. Your wedding day will be tomorrow, but there'll be no teardrops tonight. Which was actually the same song I was listening to while I was driving in traffic, and I saw that F-100 Ford green truck parked in front of me with the kids in the back. And even though I do not believe that it is safe for children to be riding the back of a truck like that, I had to do it. I just had to do it. Because one of the boys was looking at me and he was waving his arms. And I brought my hand forward onto my horn, the butt of my hand resting in the center of my steering column, and I gave it 5 honks. Bam, 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 bam. And the boys laughed and smiled, and their cheeks got so big and puffy that they looked like they were going to pull a muscle from smiling so hard. And the light turned green, and they drove on. And I listened to that old Hank Williams song play on my radio. And I do believe that if I could go back to that age, even just for a few minutes, by God, I think it'd be worth it just to hear one horn honk one more time. Hey, thank you very much for having me this evening. It's been a wonderful pleasure. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to Sean of the South. I've been your host today, Sean Dietrich. And man, it's been a bona fide pleasure, if I do say so myself. This episode was brought to you by Case Knives, a tradition of my family dating back to my granddaddy, who once said the best way to cure idle hands was to build something. So keep your hands sharp with a Case Knife. And by Folklore Brewing and Meadery, quite literally the best brew in Alabama. Visit folklorebrewingandmeadery.com. That music you heard behind me today was Vaden Landers, a songwriter out of Tennessee. Probably the most throwback country that you're going to find around. He did his album in the traditional style, and I think you ought to go listen to it if you get a chance. Go look him up today, Vaden Landers. You will not regret finding his new stuff. To find anything more about what I do, you can visit SeanOfTheSouthShow.com, and there you can find archived episodes dating back to the very first episode we ever did, all the way to this episode. Though I don't know why you'd listen to him, you must have terrible taste in podcasts. But while you're there, I hope you take the time to drop me a line to me about your birthday announcements, wedding invitations, and potluck socials, and I do my best to read them over the air for my friends, because I love to do that sort of stuff for my friends. And speaking of friends, there's nothing half as nice as being fully nice to somebody who's half as nice as you. Figure that out. Adios.